It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over North America, East Coast, West Coast, over the oceans, over borders, and everything in between. However you're listening, wherever you might be listening, thank you for being here. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. It is Super Bowl week. We're getting ready for the big game. There's so much analysis, so many people trying to be traded like Myles Garrett. We've had trades take place in the NBA. We know Luka moved. Kevin Durant might move. Jimmy Butler, nobody knows where he wants to go. There's just a lot going on. This is the culmination of talking about sports without actually seeing anything. How about that? NBA trade deadline is tomorrow. Man. We got so much to get into. It is Wednesday. Every Wednesday, I bring you a new top six list. And in exactly 1 hour, I'm going to share with you a new top six list. We're going to talk about the worst trades ever. Yeah, we're going through all sports, all leagues. We're going to take a look at some of the worst trades that have ever taken place in the history of sports. Yeah, there are more than six bad trades. I'm going to whittle it down to the worst of the worst. Yeah, every Wednesday, a new top six list. Top six list is coming in an hour from now. How about this? I told you last hour. It's time to salute a member of our service, of our armed forces. And in 20 minutes from now, much closer than that, it's time to have a chat with Naval Captain Jervy Alota. This man is a captain in the Navy. This man has commanded multiple ships. He was also a captain for Navy's football program. This guy is a celebrity. He's on Wheel of Fortune. He's on Fear Factor. And he's a big football fan because he played. He's in the Navy Athletics Hall of Fame. And so we're going to talk some football with him in another 20 minutes. As everybody can, you know, talk to the big stars. This guy's a big star in his own right. And he is protecting our asses. Okay, I'm going to talk to him. I'm looking forward to that conversation. He's down in Louisiana, and so I'll have that chat with Jervy in about 20 minutes. So we have a whole lot to get into as the show continues on. If you missed the first hour, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. We talked about Kevin Durant not wanting to be traded to the Golden State Warriors. He doesn't want to be reunited. Being reunited with Steph Curry in the Bay Area does not feel so good. Okay, we heard from Josh Jacobs. He's looking for a number one wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. I guess the guys that he has as teammates are not good enough for him. He wants somebody like Davante Adams, even though he's getting older and he used to play with him. We heard from Myles Garrett doing the rounds on Media Row. Myles Garrett is just like, yeah, I wrote what I wrote. I don't want to play for the Browns. I want to play for a team that can actually win. Wild stuff. And then, you know, how about this? I told you this. This is the time where players just say whatever the hell they want. Myles Garrett letting everybody know how he feels about his career, where he wants to play, where he doesn't want to play. Just talked about Josh Jacobs, not happy with his own teammates. He needs a new wide receiver. There's a quarterback who has yet to throw a pass in the NFL. He's not saying anything crazy. He's just putting his own personal stake in the ground and letting everybody know, hey, I want to play. He's not asking out, but he's letting everybody know how he feels about his status as a starting quarterback, his name. Get ready for this. Hickey, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
His name is J.J. McCarthy. Yeah. Yeah, J.J. McCarthy, who was drafted last year by the Minnesota Vikings. Oh, yeah. J.J. McCarthy, who last year tore a ligament in his knee. J.J. McCarthy, I think this is accurate, he threw zero passes for the Minnesota Vikings. He is apparently and obviously less accomplished than Josh Jacobs. He is less accomplished than someone going into the Hall of Fame like Myles Garrett. But you have to appreciate his ability to speak his mind. He's well within his right to speak his mind. After the Minnesota Vikings went 14-3 without him, after Sam Darnold, a former first-round quarterback who has been discarded by not only the New York Jets but the Carolina Panthers. I mean, what do you say about that? He has a career year for the Minnesota Vikings. 4,300 yards passing, 35 touchdowns, and, yeah, I will remind you, he did suck to conclude the year. This man cost himself some big money. He might have cost himself the job for the Minnesota Vikings. They may say, hey, he was good in the regular season. Kevin O'Connell worked wonders with this man in the regular season. But Sam Darnold ain't that guy that can take us to the promised land. Lost to the Lions 31-9 to conclude the season and lose the NFC North. And then was eliminated against the Rams, losing 27-9. So after having a career regular season, and Sam Darnold went back to being the New York Jets version, the Carolina Panthers version. He went back to being ass, okay? Yeah, the bad version. So J.J. McCarthy, what did he do today? Like Myles Garrett, J.J. McCarthy sat down with Rich Eisen. And J.J. McCarthy said, man, I know I didn't play last year, but you know what I do want? I want a chance to play this year, a fair one.
All I could ask for is a fair opportunity. You know, that's the one thing that, you know, I feel like everybody's given, and it's fundamental. And, you know, when money gets involved, things get complicated and, you know, reps get skewed and there's different things that come into the whole, you know, political world that everyone talks about. But, you know, I really just have to focus on controlling what I can control. My feelings don't matter. Like, I'm not getting any grace. There's no sympathy. Like, this is the big leagues. And just being able to, you know, approach it with a just steadfast, narrow tunnel vision on just the task at hand, which is that workout that day, that film study, that extra, you know, little thing I'm going to do for my fiance that day, and just really just staying in the moment, because, you know, that gives me the most peace of mind through all this.
Okay. Damn, I would have left the first part out. I wouldn't talk about the money, because he ain't talking about his own money. J.J. McCarthy is still on his rookie contract. And I know this sounds paltry, not to me, but this is paltry. This is small fries for an NFL starting quarterback. When we got a starting quarterback who's not the best in the league making $60 million a year, that happens to be Dak Prescott. Sorry, Dak. Nobody would disagree. The owner's just an idiot. But when he's making $60 million a year, and the guy who started for the Minnesota Vikings last year is making 10, Sam Darnold, who he finished the season, had 35 touchdowns. He had a better year than Dak Prescott, who got hurt. J.J. McCarthy, who didn't play a snap. This guy made like $5 million last year as a rookie. This man is on a 4-year deal. Paying him, yeah, let me not shortchange him. This guy's on a 4-year deal making $21 million. Okay. Dak Prescott, $60 million a year. J.J. McCarthy needs 4 years to make 22. Okay. All right. Sam Darnold made 10. Sam Darnold also just finished playing on a 1-year deal. There are no damn guarantees that Sam Darnold is going to be back. If I'm the Minnesota Vikings, there are a lot of bum teams, a lot of trash teams looking to bring in a quarterback. Somebody might look at Sam Darnold and go, well, if he did that with Minnesota, we can bring him in and pay him, I don't know, $20 million and utilize him as a bridge quarterback because, yeah, he sucks in the postseason. I think we can all agree on that. Or you can be the Minnesota Vikings and say, and maybe we can tag Sam. Maybe the market is soft for him. Keep him around as a backup. Or maybe the Minnesota Vikings believe in J.J. McCarthy so much that they'll bring in any veteran QB to help run the team. The Vikings have no reason to invest long term in Sam Darnold, when they had a full expectation prior to being hurt before the season that J.J. McCarthy was ultimately going to take over. Let Sam Darnold do what he wants to do. And if you're able to bring Sam Darnold back on a reasonable contract, you let the two of these guys compete. Let's be real. J.J. McCarthy, despite being selected in the draft last year, he has to win the job against Sam Darnold, which he would have done. I know they wanted or expected him to do that last year. Whether it's this upcoming season, there's no guarantees that J.J. McCarthy is going to work. The biggest criticism is that he didn't have to throw the ball at Michigan. They just handed it off to the backs. McCorum, here, McCorum, you do the work. We have to see. But if I'm J.J., I'm not talking about nobody else's money, their pockets. I'm just showing up to work. And Sam Darnold, I think some bum-ass team will give him a better deal. Hickey, you think Sam Darnold is done there?
I do. I think those last two games with how bad they were in such big spots,
yeah.
I think it kind of put the nail in the coffin of his future.
Yeah, they're like, we can do better. We can lose with a rookie quarterback. Like, we can do better. And here's the bad thing. This Hickey, this is why I feel real bad. And although I shouldn't, because he'll get paid, somebody will pay Sam Darnold just to show up and work. He's going to go somewhere else. Last season is going to be the best year that we'll ever see of Sam Darnold. Not a stretch.
I hate to agree, because I've been on the Sammy D bandwagon all season long. I think you're right.
Yeah. He last year will be the best year. He'll get a wonderful contract out of it. And I think that'll be curtains for him. Like, he's going to start for a team. And then the one person who's going to look good is Kevin O'Connell. Because everybody will go, Kevin O'Connell worked with Sam Darnold to turn him into that? Why can't we get X out of him? And who's expecting Sam Darnold to wake up next year and give you 35 touchdowns? I don't think anybody is. But can you not turn the ball over and score? Please? That's a wish. Yeah, we're going to have some veteran quarterbacks who are going to be on the market, including this one from yesterday. This is hilarious. I told you people in Atlanta cannot stand this man anymore. He was all fun. He was all games. He was all swag. He was all surfing. And now he is just enemy number one, at least for today. His name is Kirk Cousins. Yeah, who in their right mind hates Kirk Cousins? Atlanta does. After an entire, well, a season where he swore up and down that he's not hurt, that injuries are not affecting his play. Kirk Cousins was ultimately benched by the Falcons for Michael Penix Jr. He went on a 1-4 streak, had a 4-game losing streak before he got benched, threw 9 interceptions to 1 touchdown before he got benched, and swore that he was never hurt. And now that he's been benched, and now that it's pretty apparent that he is not wanted, this is crazy. Kirk Cousins told the media yesterday, sat on TV, Good Morning Football, and just like, yeah, I was hurt. Why are you throwing the coach under the bus? Why are you destroying your team? What are you doing? Kirk Cousins became a rat because Kirk Cousins is trying to push his way out. Nothing worse than a rat. I want you to listen to this. We've had Carl Dukes here. I saw Carl Dukes yesterday. 92.9 The Game here locally in Atlanta. And he is not a fan of what Kirk Cousins said and what he did that is now screwing up these Atlanta Falcons. Listen to this.
Are you kidding me? Are you serious right now? Are you telling me Kirk Cousins just came out and admitted that he was hurt and somebody was lying? I am not as concerned about that as I am about the selfishness of Kirk Cousins not allowing himself to remove himself from the situation and still give us a chance to win. It's selfish. It may be the most selfish thing I've seen ever because he was afraid of losing his position, which ultimately he did anyway.
Yeah, he got benched. And now he's saying, screw y'all, I'm leaving. Y'all are going to cut me, I'm going to get paid, and Atlanta could hate my guts, I'm going to get money elsewhere. Screw you. Yeah, I thought Kirk Cousins was a nice guy. I guess not really. Nice guys. Hickey, I heard they finished last. Is that true?
That's what the old saying says.
Okay. I got to find somebody outside to be mean to?
It pays to be bad, I guess.
Yeah. Don't let me run past somebody's grandma. It's about to be vicious outside, okay? Hey, grandma, I heard nice guys finish last. Get over here. Give me that. No, I don't want to take grandma's wallet. That's not nice. Those are some of the worst. Hickey, why does that always end up being recorded? That is the worst stuff. I mean, I was joking, but isn't that those videos online, people taking advantage of old people?
Yeah, and just as bad as, like you said, the people videoing it instead of helping out.
Oh, my God. If you take advantage of an old person or a young person or child, I got basketball in front of me, okay? You deserve to get slapped by Victor Wembanyama. That's it. Like 8 times. And treat people nice, okay? Be respectful of others. Yeah, slipped in some JR wisdom for you. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. And speaking of respect, on the other side of the break, we're going to have a chat with someone who is down in New Orleans, down in Louisiana for the Super Bowl. This man is all about respect. This man was a captain for Navy's football team. This man won a bowl game for Navy's football team. This man is a captain. He's a captain today in the Navy. He played football, and now he's a captain and helping people, protecting the country, and he's a badass. We're going to have a conversation with Jervy Alota, captain in the Navy. I'm going to ask him about football and the Chiefs, and we got a lot to get into. You want to talk about respect? You better respect this man. He's helping protect us. Don't move. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We know we're getting set and ready for the big game, but I had to tap it with somebody who is on site in New Orleans, in Louisiana. He's a big deal online. He's a big deal in helping to protect us. You might have seen him on Wheel of Fortune and Fear Factor. This is someone who is a captain on the Navy's football team. This man is a captain today in the Navy. It's Captain Jervy Alota. Captain, how you doing?
Hey, fam. How are you, JR? Man, that was probably like the best intro I've ever received, so I appreciate you.
Listen, we'll send it to you. We do things correctly here. Thank you for your service and helping to keep us safe.
Yeah, and I appreciate your support, man. I'm walking around here in my uniform looking sharp, and I can't tell you just how many people have come up to us showing their support, shaking my hand out of respect. It's a great atmosphere out here, and you know, it feels great to be able to wear the cloth of our nation and people just respecting it and giving us their gratitude.
Well, we appreciate you. Have you had a chance to dive into some crawfish or beignet yet? Did you touch any of that, Captain?
Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, first thing I got in, when I got in, I was like, I got to get me some seafood. I got to get me a boil. So I found a nice little spot here in the city. Got me some crawfish. I had some garlic butter on top of it. And then I finished it off with 3 beignets. I don't know if I could if I needed that, but it was certainly nice to my stomach.
Living good and eating good. We're going to talk about your experience playing football. But I got to ask you right out the gate. You played defensive back in school for the Navy. You won the Aloha Bowl. You beat Tech. Who are you going with in this game? You a defense guy? You going with the Eagles defense?
So I am a defensive guy, right? And but more so, I'm just a Mahomes hater. Like, I'm a Charger fan, born and raised in San Diego. I just know that he's been there and he's done that. I mean, like, let's give other people an opportunity, a chance. I know if it's close in the fourth quarter, he's going to get it done. He's a closer. So I'm rooting for a Philly blowout. Hopefully it's like 42-13.
Oh, my goodness. Naval Captain Jervy Alota is here with us. You heard it from him. He is rooting for those Eagles. I see why they made you captain when you were playing. I understand now why you're in the Naval Academy Hall of Fame for athletics. I understand now. What got you into playing football?
Initially, my dad forced me to play. I was just a little freaking thug, you know, just running the streets in a bike gang, you know, doing my own little thing. And my dad realized at an early age that I needed to get involved into something, some sort of team activity. So he forced me to go play. He said, you give me one day on the practice field, and if you don't like it after that one day, then you can quit. But you got to give me one day. You got to commit to one day. I went one day, and I absolutely fell in love with this beautiful game we call football.
Wow. And but how did you end up in from playing football to the Naval Academy? Like, how did that happen? You got options. I'm sure you had choices of where you wanted to go.
To be honest, I didn't. I was a scrawny little Filipino kid. I wrestled 98 pounds my freshman year in high school. But I was a beast. Like, I was a monster that would just run around with no regard to my body and just cause havoc. But I was still little. Like, my senior year, I was about 145 pounds, and I didn't have many offers. But my buddy, who played receiver, was big time. He was a blue chipper, and he wanted to go to Navy, and they were recruiting him real hard. And we were really good friends, and he knew I wanted to go to the next level. So he said, hey, if you guys are going to take me, I'll go, but you got to bring this kid with me. So I was kind of a package deal. So by the grace of God, man, I had the opportunity to go to a D1 school and play at the highest level. And I'm telling you, like, when life gives you opportunities, you got to take full advantage, because that was an opportunity that I had. And, I don't think that I could have, crafted a more ideal career for myself, starting as a freshman, playing 40 consecutive games, leading the school or second leading tackler of the school, the Hall of Fame, like, you name it, I did it. And I was just a kid that wasn't even supposed to be at that level, let alone, starting as a freshman.
Captain, Naval Captain Jervia Lotus here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show, Coast to Coast. You talk about being captain of that football team. You're a captain now. Explain to all of the listeners, we all know about the Navy, what you guys do at sea, part of what you guys do to protect us. What is your role today as a captain? Put it in football terms for us.
Okay, so we can't bypass the fact that I commanded three warships. So I was like the head coach for three teams, three huge organizations. My ships consisted of about 300 sailors and another 400 Marines when we were fully outfitted. So I commanded three of those. Now I am the director of community outreach, really just kind of building awareness to different communities that don't know too much about the Navy, telling my story to get them pumped and excited to actually sign a contract to be a best, be a part of the best and most premier Navy force in the world.
Man, that's amazing. Where can people find out more information, Captain?
Yeah, if you go to Navy.com, you could just peruse through that website. It gives you details about every single job that you can have in the Navy, whether it's from seabed to space, whether it's, kinetic and physical, or whether it's cerebral. Like, we offer so many different opportunities, whether you want to be a SEAL or an explosive ordnance guy, or, a cryptologist, a doctor, a dentist, a preacher, a counselor, you name it. We have every opportunity that your heart desires. And if you get on Navy.com, it'll give a brief description about everything that we do and we offer in the Navy. Or you could just go on any social media platform, IG, Twitter, or X, whatever it is now, and look up America's Navy, hashtag America's Navy. And you can, just peruse through that thing. We could talk about it all day long, and it's pretty obvious that I'm pretty passionate about what I do. Yes. And all the jobs and opportunities that the Navy has. But if you just go to that website, you can find out a lot about the opportunities that the Navy offers.
There's parallels, Captain, between your time at the Naval Academy and obviously values. How does football, or how did playing football, getting involved in athletics, prepare you for your pathway and what you're doing now?
Yeah, as I told you, like, I probably wasn't a blue chip D1, kind of caliber recruit. So I had to work my butt off, right? I had to prepare myself mentally. I had to prepare myself physically. So I was in the weight room, before everyone else joined, just because I needed to get bigger. I needed to get faster. I watched more film than anybody. So when you talk about preparation, that was what allowed me to start as a freshman, because I prepared my butt off. And that's just like the Navy. If you don't prepare mentally and physically to join our service, to do the job that you've been asked to do, you're not going to do well. It's all about sacrifice, right? Like, and you got to work your tail off. When I played football, I was trying to balance my academics with the military, with football. And if you don't have that discipline, if you don't have that work ethic, and if you can't make those sacrifices, you're not going to succeed in the military. And the last but not least, like, the biggest parallel for me is when the lights are shining bright, you got to bring it. right? Like, you can't work hard, prepare your body and your mind to be at the big show and then just fail. You got to be clutch. When it's shining bright, you got to be at your very best. And that's what we ask for our sailors, because you could train all day long, but when push comes to shove and you're facing an adversary, but you crumble under pressure because you can't take the heat, then we don't need you. We need you ready to go when the lights are bright to be at your very best. And that's kind of the three main parallels that I draw from the Navy with football.
Hey, we love that and appreciate that. U.S. Naval Captain Jervia Lotta, final question for you. You got me hyped, and I'm lazy. I just talk in front of the microphone all day. You got me hyped. I know you said you cannot stand the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. I know you play defensive back. If they need the call, if they need you, are you ready to go out there and sack that man?
Come on, like, let's go. I don't know if, like, he's a little bit shifty. So if he, like, I may tore an ACL, but, you know, I'm going to give it my all. I got one good 40 left in me. I got one good hit on me. I'm bigger now, so I may be a hands on the ground kind of guy. But give me one play, coach, fourth and short, whatever, game on the line. Put me in. I'm ready to go.
Hey, Captain Alota, we appreciate you. You're a star in your own right. Where can people follow and keep up with you?
Yeah, I got an Instagram following. I'm kind of a spokesperson for the Navy. If you go to IG at Captain Jervy, Gervy, you can find me there.
Hey, Captain, we appreciate you. Thank you again for your service. The next time you have to swing through ATL, you're not on the seas, you shoot me a holler, okay?
JR, appreciate you. I had a pleasure doing this. You are the man. I appreciate you.
No doubt about it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Naval Captain Jervia Lota for joining us. This man was a captain on Navy's football team. He's in the Navy's Athletics Hall of Fame. He's captain in ships. He's amazing. Hickey, if I threw you on a boat right now, could you captain a boat?
Hell no.
No, me neither. I don't know. We're done. We're done. If it doesn't work like a car, I can't do nothing with it.
Do you know what starboard means or what side that is?
Excuse me?
Yeah, that's like a side of the boat.
The star who?
The starboard.
Nah, bro. I don't know, man.
I don't know either, but it's one of the somewhere on the boat. Starboard side. I don't know. That's like left or right. I don't know what the other direction would be, but
it's not like a car, huh?
No, not like a car. I think it's a lot more challenging, especially when the road is pushing against you or moving against you with the ocean. Not good.
Nah, man. It needs to be like a car. Should be. What do I know? I don't know. Most I know about a boat is the is a cruise ship. And speaking of cruise ships, Hickey, what? Shad Khan of the Jacksonville Jaguars. This man couldn't do, like, I guess most billionaires. He couldn't take a plane. He couldn't get on his private jet to New Orleans. This guy took his yacht to New Orleans. Like, he is to New Orleans? What is he doing?
He not only took his yacht, he took his 400-foot, $360 million yacht to New Orleans. I saw an NFL insider, I forget who it is, yesterday tweet. Like, NFL owners are pretty competitive, you know, with each other.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, one thing that a lot of them, like, legitimately care about, who has the biggest yacht.
Oh, my God. Which means they have little other things, right? Probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
And so maybe Shad Khan is trying to send a message of, hey, you think I'm incompetent? You think I run a crappy organization? Well,
yes,
look what I got.
A $360 million yacht. Wow.
How many wins would that buy?
With the Jags? I don't know. None?
Zero.
Like, who cares about giving Trevor Lawrence $50 plus million a year when you're buying $360 million yachts, right?
That's actually, you're right. His yacht is more expensive than his quarterback.
Yeah, so who cares? Oh, the quarterback's making 50. My yacht is 360. I don't even want to know how much a year he has to pay for this in maintenance, right?
Oh, there's 37 crew members. How much you got to pay them?
There's 37 crew members on a yacht?
Yeah.
Why do they even call it a yacht at this point? Is this not just a cruise ship?
It's above even super yacht. I agree.
Oh, my God. This is crazy. So what's the deal with it? I'm Googling it now. The yacht has three swimming pools, I guess you don't want to swim in the gulf of, Mickey, what do I call it?
What are we calling it, JR? Yeah,
what do we call it?
Let's
check Google Maps real fast. Let's see.
The water looked pretty dirty, so we can keep it with Mexico.
Yeah, that gulf water is not the, let's just say it's not the beach. Google Maps, Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, that gulf water is pretty filthy, so maybe you do want three swimming pools. This yacht has three pools, four fireplaces, spas, as in plural, doesn't say how many. There's a theater on the yacht. The yacht has a basketball court, so you can shoot hoops while the waves screw you up. It has a dance floor. There is a helipad on this yacht. I don't know. Maybe another rich person needs to join late and they just take the helicopter there. And more. It has four pickleball courts. Oh, my God. His yacht is more than a football field long. It takes $35, $6 million a year to run. Okay. Can accommodate up to 12 guests and 9 cabins. And this crew of 37 people. Oh, my goodness. What are we doing?
Wait, they have a crew of 37 people, and the most that 400-foot cruise ship can hold is 9 people?
Well, Hickey, I mean, you need to... well, there's 9 rooms for 12 people, okay?
Oh, 12, my bad. 12. That's Hickey, it? A 400-foot yacht, and you can hold 12 people on it?
Well, and it's 50. Now, you know, you add in the people who are working and the people who are enjoying themselves. Hickey, are they cooking?
No.
Are they cleaning?
Definitely not.
Are they washing the pool?
No.
Are they cleaning the toilets?
They're not driving the boat.
They're not driving the boat.
Not docking it.
They're not docking. So let's do some math here, right?
I guess you can't condense those roles. That's three people, three workers, three maintenance men and women.
For every person.
Wow.
Yeah, don't you want that today in your normal life?
Sure. I mean, Hickey's, I'll take it.
Yeah, Hickey, sign me up, right?
I agree.
Cook my food. Wash my clothes. Do my errands. And all I got, Hickey, I don't even, show up to work for me. Go do it. Well, sign me up.
400-foot yacht for selling mufflers. We got into the wrong industry.
He's still a dummy. I'm just saying.
You know what? I'd rather be a dummy with a 400-foot yacht.
You're right. Yeah. He got robbed by his own guy. You think anybody on that boat is robbing him?
Well, would you say it costs to run it a year, like $35 million?
Yeah, 36, it says.
Wow.
Hickey, you're going to love this. See, a little inside joke. Hickey and I talk about people on TV that just pop up and talk about sports. We talk about how bad they look. Hickey, I'm going to send you a photo of another guy. He really looks like he's been taken, okay?
Is it worse than the guy that you said was on the TV screen in a white, like, wrinkled T-shirt in the middle of his hotel room?
Yeah, this guy.
This guy's worse?
Yeah, I don't know. No, because there's a little bit. He's apparently a little bit more shaved, but look like he just rolled out of bed. Yeah. Yep. I'll share this with you in the break. Yeah, good stuff. Well, you know what we can do? If I would have known this about this yacht, I would have asked Jervy Alota. Like, Shad Khan can't tell him no, right? If Jervy Alota pulled up to his yacht and said, do you mind if I, you know, you can't say no to the service, man. You can't say no, right?
Can't say no. Absolutely not.
You cannot say no. This man is protecting your ass. You got to let him do it. And then Jervy could let us on the boat. We may need to call Jervy back.
Right back, and let's book the next flight down to New Orleans. I'm ready.
Yeah, man. 1 hour flight for me.
Oh, wow.
What, two and a half, 3 hours for you, Hickey. So I don't know.
Thursday morning, I'll be there ready. You name the time, I'll be there ready to go.
Yeah, we'll find Jervy. And I think if he just rolls up to the yacht, they have no choice but to let him on. So I say he's military, too. He could boss people around. Yeah, that sounds like, you know what, Hickey? We can just take over the yacht.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to be on a yacht with them snooty-ass people. What am I going to talk to Shad Khan about besides, hey, man, give me some money? There's nothing else I want to talk to him about.
Now you don't want to talk football? You don't want to talk why'd you keep Trent Baalke so long?
Does he know football? This man hired Urban Meyer as his coach of his pro football team of grown-ass men. Nah.
Well, you could maybe talk your way into being the next coach.
Nah,
William Cohen. I don't know.
Give me the job, and then I'll take a few checks, and then...
Look, those coaching salaries are guaranteed. You get fired, you're getting it all.
Look, he can't be that stupid, okay? He could be dumb, but he can't be that stupid to give me a job. Oh.
I mean, like I said, he did hire Urban Meyer to get robbed of $22 million.
I'd be worse. I'd be worse. Hey, you know what? Speaking of this in Jervy, Hickey, I was shocked, and I understand it. Chargers fan, originally from, San Diego. He admitted he's a Chiefs hater. He said it. It came right out of the captain's mouth. He had no reservations. He's like, I hate the Chiefs. And I'm like, whoa. To each his own, especially being a Chargers fan, I would expect it. But that was that everybody, Hickey, like we had that one guy who called yesterday. And I don't know what rock he's been under. He's just like, hey, JR, the reason why people don't like the Eagles and everybody likes the Chiefs. So I'm like, what are you talking about right now? Like, you paying attention to anything people are saying? I would say as an overall, it's, what'd you say, 70% of people are sick of the Chiefs, you say?
It feels like 90%. Like, outside of Kansas City, I don't know if there are many fans of the Chiefs.
You think it's that bad already?
I mean, maybe I'm allowing social media, like the vocal minority, to influence me too much, but it does, like, just take Chiefs fans out of it. I don't know many people that are like, oh, yeah, go Patrick Mahomes, go Chiefs. Want to see them keep on winning.
That's rough. You know, it's ironic. Travis Kelce during NFL opening night, Super Bowl opening night, whatever the hell they call it. Travis Kelce sat at his little stage. And he was asked if all of the hatred and bias against the Chiefs, not by the refs apparently, he was asked if he's motivated by the Chiefs' hate.
People hate the Chiefs? I didn't know that. I don't let outside noise fuel me or motivate me. I have all the motivation right here and with the people that I go to work with and who I show up for. I just try and be the most accountable guy that I can for them.
Yeah, you can only do what you got to do, right? Not a surprise. And I can't believe, well, I can believe this a little bit. T.O., Terrell Owens, who's been here on the JR Sport Brief Show in the past. T.O. was on the It Is What It Is podcast. That is with Cameron and Mace. Very interesting fellows from Harlem, New York. T.O. says the refs are rigging the game for the Chiefs. Oh, my goodness. Listen to this garbage.
I played the game, man. I'm watching the game, and I'm looking at all these calls that they're just – that's benefiting the Kansas City Chiefs. Bro, it's blatant and obvious. Like, it's unreal. And I've never thought – I've texted him. I'm like, I never would thought I would say that – I thought games were rigged or, you know, somebody got, you know, some plays in the, it is unreal at the amount of calls that are not called against the Kansas City Chiefs that are called against everybody else.
Oh, man, come on. Now they got T.O. He's been indoctrinated. They sucked his brain out, too. Come on, T.O. What are we doing? People just saying stuff now. Hickey, now, this is bad. I'm going to give my formal prediction on Friday, Hickey, even though people have told me. A guy called yesterday and said, Jock, I know where you're going. You probably do. This is not my prediction. And I want the Eagles to win, too. I want both to win. But, Hickey, I'm rooting for the Chiefs. I am. I think it's a good story. I think that... for all this nonsense, I wouldn't mind. I want a close game. I want a good game. But I want them to win. You know what I'm saying? We need a decisive win by the Chiefs. And I need Kelce or somebody to go. Somebody has to make a joke about it on a podium after the game. Just to tick people off.
I'm with you in the sense of I don't hate the Chiefs. Like, I was rooting for them against the Bills a few weeks ago. Like, I think they are likable. You know, I do.
I think they are likable, too.
Rigging the games. The Chiefs are making plays. And by the way, I don't know why everyone forgets, like, whether it's the Bulls or Michael Jordan, the Patriots or Tom Brady.
They lost.
Every great team gets calls. They get the benefit of the doubt from the referees. They're well coached, But also, like, you see, I mean, in the NBA, star players are officiated differently than, like, scrubs. Yeah. It's just a human nature. It's a fact. I don't know why everyone's pretending like the Chiefs are the only team in the history of sports that gets the benefit of the doubt or gets a favorable whistle and nobody else does.
Yeah, it's just, it's an easy thing to discuss. That's it. Like, calls are close for all teams. It's just nobody cares about the ass ones. That's it. That's really what it boils down to. This is a good team. People see them. They're on TV. Nobody cares about the Jacksonville Jaguars missed calls because ain't nobody watching them. It's not scrutinized. No one cares. Everybody needs to relax. You know what? I'm going to ask. We're going to have Nancy Armour for USA Today. She's a great columnist. She's going to be here later on in the show. I'm going to ask her about this as well. And she is not afraid to delve into difficult conversations or topics. I'm going to get her thoughts on this and how much of it is driven by people on social media. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. It's time for a new top six list. It's what I do every Wednesday. And today, NFL players want trades. NBA players want trades. I'm going to give you a top six list of some of the worst trades that we have ever witnessed in the world of sports. Don't move. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, the Infinity Sports Network.